Why don't we stand to our feet and give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. He is holy. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is real. Hallelujah. 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 I wish that everyone could have experienced the Bible study we had yesterday. You've experienced the results that happened here this morning. But they've been working and hungry and seeking God this last week like you would a big old ribeye steak. Hungry, open, seeking. We talked about yesterday, seeking, he's knocking, it shall be open, seeking, he shall find, ask, and he shall receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited, folks. That's a prayer answered right there. Hallelujah. I would like to turn your attention just for a little while. Genesis 28, verse 12. And he dreamed. I heard about a dream this week. Brother Luke had a dream. The Lord's been speaking to him. Hallelujah. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Wow, we have a ladder here today. A ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Surely the Lord is in this place, harvest time. Surely the Lord is in this place. Dear Jesus, bless us as we come to hear your word. Open our minds to understand and give our hearts a desire to live for you above all else. God, each word that I speak in love and in your will, I thank you already, Lord, for what you've done in this place. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, look at your neighbor and say, what's your perception? God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk just for a little while this morning about the power of perception. The power of perception. Most of our walk with God depends on our state of mind and the way we see things, the way we view things, the way we perceive one another, the way we perceive God's will in our lives, and the way we perceive God's word. I found an interesting quote yesterday, a couple of them actually, that was written in a book that Sister Melanie bought me, and I have enjoyed that book thoroughly, but one of them says, if the only tool you have is a hammer, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. Perception. I thought that was a neat quote. I liked it. And then they had another one that went like this. You are given a situation. What you are determines what you see. What you see determines what you do. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the power of perception. There was a young man that graduated from high school many years ago. His name was Scotty Pickman. And for the 4 years that he was in high school, he was the valedictorian, except for the last couple of weeks. The entire high school career, he was the top of the class. He was the brains. He was the smart one. And at graduation, he was the salutatorian. And the graduation was in the Astro Arena, which they have tore down now. But he gave the salutatorian address, and it was a masterpiece. He received a scholarship to the University of Rice, very intelligent young man. His great-grandfather was S.L. Wise, which was a pioneer preacher and a very good friend of our family. But Scotty spoke, and it was incredible. A hush fell over the crowd, and they just absorbed his words. When the valedictorian stood to make his speech, the student body, along with close to 5,000 people in the Astro Arena, began to scream, "Cheater! Liar! Cheater!" Because he had cheated his way into that position. And throughout his speech, he was jeered and had to endure those jeering remarks. And his speech was really very cheap and very shallow. It wasn't very deep. It wasn't very enhancing towards future. His remarks, he began and he said, "I really enjoy being over all of you, and I'm so glad that I'm the student body leader and the smartest one here." And it was all a lot of I, and me. And he had quite a perception of himself. He had quite a viewpoint of himself. He felt like he was somebody special, and he was above everybody else, and no one else was good enough or smart enough or smarter than he was. And after the graduation, they mocked him and they said, "We sure have looked up to you, buddy. You sure were a great leader, and you sure have been a great king." And they really laid it on him. Because his perception of himself was greater than it ought to be. How we perceive ourselves. What is our perception? The Apostle Paul says for us not to think more highly than we ought. And even the world can understand him saying that and the meaning of that. Don't get high and mighty. Come in low and humble. It's better to under-promise and overachieve than to over-promise and underachieve. Yeah, that's right. So we've come here to talk and to walk humbly before the Lord. We've come here with open hearts and minds to the Word of God. We don't see ourselves as kings or potentates or great philosophers. We do not see ourselves as people who are eventually going to populate and take over a planet and a community and be the wealthiest and the biggest of all. Some people and some religions dwell on you becoming the best individual you can here and now. Live your best life now. Our goal, though, is to find the feet of Jesus and to worship him and to be with him and to let his anointing fall on us like it just did a while ago. We don't have a program or an agenda that we have to keep. We can stop for the presence of God and say, "God, here we are. God, we humble ourselves before you. God, not my way, not my will, but God, your way and your will. You minister to us right here and right now." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of perception. How we perceive things makes so much difference in our lives. When Moses was in the palace, he had the marble floors. You know, he had been taken in and he was raised in the Pharaoh's house. And he had all of the riches and the beautiful tapestries and the linen drapes. But still, he was absolutely miserable. Something inside of him was miserable. Even though he could look out of his window and he could see the promised pyramids to his memory, he was still miserable. Though by night he would try on the Pharaoh's robe and crown and look in the mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I'm going to be king of them all someday." something inside of him was stirring and moving, and he was miserable. He was not in his proper place, and he was just living in a temporary state of something that he had been put in for a season, but he wasn't content. He wasn't happy. He wasn't going to settle for just the fancy meals of a king's table and the professional fanners that kept him cool in the day, because they didn't have AC like we have today. Hallelujah. Thank God for air conditioning and heat. Hallelujah. He didn't want to have to live forever with the violins that would play peaceful music at night. But still, Moses, he was miserable in his mind. And you would think that a man surrounded by wealth, and he had had the best of education, and he had had the best of clothes, and he had gone with the top, the people he hung out with and his friends, they were the cool crowd. They were the it crowd. They had money and they had wealth because they were connected to the Pharaoh and they were friends to the Pharaoh and this house and this life that he was living, but he was miserable. And one day he sees an Egyptian fighting with a little Israelite man, and the Israelite's back was scarred with lashes and worn from the sun, and he had been beaten by Pharaoh's men, and his skin was like shoe leather from the burning sun. They had been marched home, the people of Israel, at midnight, and they were their nerves were racked, and they were in chaos and turmoil, and this was the life they lived. And in the morning, early in the wee hours of the morning, they would get them up, and they would march them back out to those slime pits, and they would begin to stomp in those slime pits, making bricks for the Pharaoh, making bricks for the pyramids, making bricks. Just that's our existence. That's all we are doing for years and years and generations. After generation, all we do is march in the slime pits. But here's Moses, one of us. He's in the palace, but he's not happy. Moses is miserable. He's not content. Marching in the slime pits, stuck in a rut. Has your life ever seemed like that? It's like you get out of one situation and another situation pops up. And you look at it and you say, oh God, I can't live with this anymore. I can't do this anymore. This is just so much pressure. I just don't know what I'm going to do. And you're not content. But one night, old Moses, he breaks loose. Moses says, this is my night. Moses, after seeing that Egyptian fighting the Israelite, he goes and he slays the Egyptian that he's supposed to be king over someday. And he saves the Israelite. And he finally gets to a point where he's just tired of it. And he just, I'm getting out of here. I'm not doing this. And he begins his journey. He takes off those royal robes. He takes off that fine jewelry. And he puts on the cloak of a peasant. He puts on the cloak of an Israelite slave. They come out that morning. And I just imagine what their thoughts would be if they see old Moses standing in those slime pits waiting on them. Oh, I hadn't been here, but this is where I'm supposed to be. I've been in Pharaoh's palace. I've been living it up, but this is where I'm really supposed to be. And he had a peace of mind. He had a contentment in his mind because his perception had been fulfilled. His destiny was becoming real and relevant, and it was happening in the process of time. In the process of time, everything will come. Things will work out in the process of time. The power of perception. Just give it some time. Don't worry about what situation you're in right now. Do your best. Get in the Word of God. Apply biblical principles to your situation. And in the process of time, the process. We are in a process. Natalie and Luke didn't get to this point just walking in here this morning. There has been a process. There has been a preparation. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Our Bible study started yesterday, and I was thinking 20, 30, 40 minutes. We went almost 2 hours. It didn't even feel like 5 minutes. Process of time. And here we find Moses, and He has a peace of mind now. And the state of mind is the perception of man. As a man perceives pleasure, he receives pleasure. And Moses was not at peace in the palace, but he was at peace in the His perception was changed. His life was changed. And in the process of time, he leads the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Perception. We've got to change our perception of the situations around us. It's not okay to take your hammer out and to hit every situation like a nail. Be patient. Trust God. Know that God is going to see you through that situation. He might not take you out of it like that, but he'll ride through the storm with you. He'll ride it with you. Isn't it wonderful to be at peace with God? We've got peace. The bondage of the past is behind us. We may struggle with stuff here or there, have problems arrive, but we have peace and a knowledge that we know the power of God is with us. The hope of glory is with us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm going to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Peace with God's purpose. That's what we want. We want peace with God's plan. Church is where we come together to get a new perception, a new perspective, to wipe our glasses clean and our eyes clean and to get the fog out of our minds and our viewpoint. And we get a new vision, a new understanding of where we are and who we are and where we are going. You've got to have a goal. I'm going to keep pressing towards the mark. You've got to have a focus. You've got to have a will and a desire to better not only yourself and your family, but everybody around you. How does that happen? You change your perception. You change your viewpoint. I have a craving for God's presence. I often find myself studying how to enter the presence of God. If you read in the Old Testament, the process of them setting up the temple and entering into the Holy of Holies, there was a process, there was a procedure, there was proper way of doing things. It's just not getting up on a platform and looking pretty and singing or playing or walking into a Sunday school class and teaching. There's a preparation. There's some prayer. There's some work that's put in beforehand. Before you see him get up here, there's been some practices. And we've got to get to the point where we just say, God, it's not about us anymore. It's about your anointing. God, it's not about a program or a time agenda. God, it's about your anointing. Well, Brother Chris, you better hurry because we got to eat at noon. It's only 11:12-ish, so we got plenty of time. You're going to be okay. You're not going to starve. But it's about his anointing. And I just pray that the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would fall on us and consume us like it did in our opening prayer. What a way to kick off a Sunday opening prayer, to let the anointing of the Holy Ghost fall. Hallelujah. The angels in heaven rejoice when one comes into the kingdom of God. Our perspective, our viewpoint. And I have this craving to just be in God's presence and to do whatever it takes. God, you don't have to remember my name or pastor's name or the person you're, but if you'll just remember who Jesus is, and that Jesus will get you through that situation, and Jesus will heal your marriage, and Jesus will heal your children, and Jesus will put you back together again. Your broken heart can be mended. It takes the power of perception. It takes your viewpoint and your willingness and your desire to want to get in right relationship with God. I pray, Lord, every time we get together, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost fall in this place. We want a powerful concentration of your Spirit in this service today in the name of Jesus. Just focusing on how much God we can get in the building through prayer and fasting, we focus on, and we want God in this building, in this place, in this temple. If we get God, we get people. If we get God, we get people. We don't focus on how many people we can get into the building. And I've been guilty of this. My focus is changing this year. I'm not focusing on how many people that we can just get in a building or into a youth service or how many we can just get to show up. But if we'll seek first the kingdom of God, if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and we just begin to seek His presence and focus in on God and Him alone, then God's presence will draw people. They'll be drawn. There'll be a lighthouse shining here that they can't pass up. They're just going to be driving by and they're going to come in and say, I just feel something when I drive by this church. I know nobody handed me a track. Nobody invited me, but I just felt the presence and I had to come. And I pray that when they walk through those doors, they feel the love of us as people and the consideration and the bonding of, hey, you're one of us. We're not judging you. We're not picking on you. We're just here to serve with you, serve for you, serve through us, oh God. Hallelujah. We're here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God will draw the people. God doesn't just want to dwell in a building, although we have a beautiful facility. It's not Him just dwelling in the building. God doesn't just want to dwell in a church, but God wants to dwell in His people, in His people. God wants Luke's and Natalie's, and God wants Brother George's and Sister Emma's and Brother Jake's and Brother Kevin's and Brother Baggett's and Sister Martha's. And God wants you. He wants to dwell inside of you. The power of perception. It's how much of God we can get just flowing in us and into people, and then we'll carry those people, us. We will carry out the presence of God, the people that we meet, and they'll feel the presence of God when you walk into a room. I had a man this week tell me, he said, man, you're always happy. What's going on? You don't have bad days? I said, oh, I have bad days. I smash my thumbs. I have flats. I have issues. But I have a God that's bigger than all of that. And whenever I just start having a bad day, I start thinking about how good God is and what blessings He's done for me. That He opened up a door when I was hitting a brick wall, didn't know which way to turn. He opened up a door and it was wide open. And there's Brother and Sister Baggett. And there's Carlos, all of you. I begin to think of that in the glory of God, that God has put me here to learn and to be mentored and to be part of a family and a team of men and women who are serving the greatest God, the only God, the one true and living God. Oh, I get excited. My perception is...